When we have finished tonight, and after those who need to partake of the Lord's Supper have been dismissed, and we're dismissed in here, we'll form a human chain like we did before, going up the stairs and out the door and into the room that is upstairs. And we will move them all, and it won't take us but just a second. And you won't have to handle but one bag at a time. But we'll do that very quickly. If you can help with that, that would be appreciated so very much. I'd like you to open your Bibles. We're going to go to the book of Romans to begin with tonight. We're going to take a look at Paul and grace. This is another one of many illustrations and examples that God gives to us of this salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul presents himself as an individual that if God will save me, he will save anyone. He presents himself as the chief of all sinners. But in this particular lesson tonight, we're going to look at something else where Paul's life parallels the grace that God extends to us in Jesus and helps us to see it and helps us to understand it a little bit better. So if you'll read with me starting in Romans 1, and we'll read verses 1 through 5. This is what Paul says, and we're really looking at one particular verse, but I'd like to look at all that he says. Paul, a bondservant, a slave. Everything that is done by him is to please Christ. Everything that is done by him is directed by Christ. He will even say it in the book of Galatians, I'm no longer alive. Christ lives in me. And the life I'm now living is by faith in him, whatever he wants and directs. So Paul, a bondslave of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle. Literally, the phrase is called to be an apostle. All is called to be an apostle. It's that position that becomes the parallel. He goes on and he says, set apart for the gospel of God. This is what God called him to be and to do, is to live for the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Then he talks about that gospel, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the son of power by the resurrection from the dead according to the spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. If you take a look, sometimes people ask, born as a descendant of David according to the flesh, Joseph and Mary both were descendants of David. And he was born of Mary, and both were descendants of David. And that's part of the reason why we have two different accounts of Jesus' genealogy. And he goes into verse 4, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace. Is that me? Huh? Keep going. Can I move? I thought I was creating a beat every time I moved. And I can move now. Okay. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. Look at the two words that he puts together. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship. I believe there are three or four times that the Apostle Paul will refer to his being an apostle as God's grace. The grace that God has extended to him. He'll do that in our next reading, and he does it again in the book of Galatians. He does it in 1 Corinthians, and he does it again in Galatians. And the story that he tells us about his apostleship and what we understand about his being an apostle of Jesus Christ creates parallels between our salvation and his apostleship that help to illustrate this grace. Because the grace that God used to make him an apostle is very similar and identical to the grace that we have in Jesus Christ. So go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll start with verse 1.
And we're going to take a look at what Paul is writing. He's writing this to the church at Corinth because it's at Corinth that individuals who despise Paul and what he stands for have come. They have stirred up people at Corinth against him. It's not just at the church at Corinth, but it's in other places as well. And Paul finds it necessary in his writings to defend his apostleship. And it's from those other defenses that he gives that we learn other things, but they're all summarized by what Paul writes here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's start with the first three verses. And Paul writes this in writing about the gospel. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Look at the emphasis Paul is giving to the message he preached. It is the message that saves. It is the message that they are standing in. And if they remain standing firm in that message, they will be saved. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. What is this message that he received, and exactly how did he receive it? If you go over to the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, hold on to 1 Corinthians 15, but turn over to the book of Galatians, another place where Paul is defending his apostleship. And he does so in the first couple of chapters to this group of people who are moving away from the gospel and moving away from Paul because of these teachers, Judaizing teachers. We call them Judaizing teachers because they are moving people away from the all-sufficiency of Christ and telling them that they've got to obey the law of Moses. And Paul is fighting that with every fiber of his being. And in verses 11 and verse 12 of chapter 1, he would say this: For I would have you to know, brethren, that the gospel which is preached by me is not according to man. Paul didn't receive it from any human being. He goes on, For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. It was not any of the other apostles who taught him. It was not any human being who taught him. Everything that he learned from Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ appeared to him. He will go on in the rest of chapter 1 and in Galatians chapter 2, and we'll kind of summarize it, so we'll get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But he will go on in chapter 1 and chapter 2 of the book of Galatians to say, When I met with the apostles, they added nothing to what I already knew. They added nothing to what I was already doing. Paul will say, I met with them, and especially with the leaders of the apostles, and I presented to them the message that I was teaching and preaching. And he says, lest after all these years I've been running in vain, without any contact with them from the standpoint of being taught by them, he has a conversation with them. And he says, they added nothing to me nor to my message. But they recognized that God was working with me or through me to the Gentiles, just like he was working through Peter to the Jews. And as a result of his message, and as a result of something else that he describes in Galatians chapter 2. And that is translated in different ways, but it is simply to say that God was working efficiently through Peter and efficiently through me in the same way. When Paul first goes to Jerusalem for that council that is there, and he presents himself to the other apostles, he describes to them the miracles that God has been working through him in all the places he's been as a Gentile. And so the same thing that confirms Peter as an apostle of Jesus Christ confirms Paul. Just like the other apostles, upon whomever Paul laid his hands, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Just like it was true of the other apostles. Paul performed miracles just like the other apostles. And the message Paul delivered was identical to the message of the other apostles. But he didn't learn it from any one of them. He learned it from Jesus. Well, so when he describes the message that he is preaching and the message that he's declaring, it is exactly the same as the rest of the apostles. He's confirmed to be an apostle in exactly the same way the other apostles are confirmed. Can you imagine early on the great difficulty that would have caused initially for the other apostles? And the great difficulty that would have caused initially for the early church. So much so that when Paul tried to present himself to the Christians in Jerusalem and to the other apostles, the only one to initially accept him was Barnabas, who took him and introduced him properly and commended him to the rest of the apostles. And then things began to become known. So this is Paul saying this. And the question is still raised today. What right does he have to be an apostle? And Paul deals with it. So we go back to 1 Corinthians. We're back in chapter 15. This time, we're going to go to verses 8 through 11. And in these verses, Paul will tell us, what I received, I did not deserve. What I received, I should not have had. What I received, I had no right to. But do you know what the other apostles would have said if you asked them the same thing? Neither did we. And neither do we deserve to be what we are. And Paul is quick to acknowledge it. Read with me, starting with verse 8. We'll read down just a couple of verses through verse 11. And the Apostle Paul writes this. And last of all, he's talking about the order of the appearance of Jesus after he was raised from the dead. And he says, and last of all, as to one untimely born, as to one born out of season. When they appointed an apostle to take the place of Judas, the apostles gave the criteria that that individual must meet. He must have been with us since the time of John the Baptizer. That was not Paul. He must have been with us from the time of John the Baptizer until Jesus was ascended into heaven. That was not Paul. Born out of season. Born untimely. He appeared to me too. He appeared to the other apostles, but he appeared to me also. And then Paul will say this in verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. With that statement, many in Corinth would say amen. To that statement, many of those who followed Paul around and tried to stop everything that he was doing would have been in total and complete agreement. You ask Paul on certain days and he would say the same thing. Can you imagine what the memory of Stephen did to him? What did he do with the memory of Stephen? I think he recognized Stephen was not hurt.
I think he recognized he did nothing to harm the eternal well-being of Stephen. I have no doubt that if he met Stephen's family, he offered apologies. They may have told him because of his repentance and his change, there was no need. That Stephen was okay. But it's in his memory and it's in his mind and it never goes away. But it doesn't matter. And the reason it doesn't matter is because of Jesus. And so while verse 9 is there, and verse 9 is in his memory, and verse 9 is something that he will never forget, there's verse 10. And this is where the grace is. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. There is nothing about me that has deserved this and earned it. But by God's grace, I am what I am. I don't deserve to be called a Christian, but by God's grace, I am. I don't deserve to be called a child of God, but by God's grace, I am. I don't deserve to be considered holy, but by God's grace, I am. And Paul is saying the same thing here with regard to his apostleship. I do not deserve to be called an apostle. But by God's grace, I am what I am. And just like Moses stood face to face with those who challenged his authority, because he knew his authority came from God and it was not just a challenge against him, it was a challenge against God himself. So Paul will stand toe-to-toe to those who say you don't deserve to be an apostle. And he will not cower in fear. Because this apostleship of his is not judged by whether or not he's earned it or deserved it. It's judged by what God has done. So it's a challenge against God, not against Paul. And when the devil accuses us and says, look at what you've done. You don't deserve to be a Christian. It's not a challenge against us. It's a challenge against God. And we stay with Paul in chapter 10, or in verse 10. No, you're right. I don't deserve it. I shouldn't have it. But by God's grace, I am what I am. And by God's grace, I have received what he has given me in Christ Jesus. So by God's grace, I am forgiven. And his grace toward me did not prove vain. This becomes important. Vain means empty, useless, for no benefit, for no profit. So why did his grace toward you not prove to be vain? Paul says this, because I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Paul understood that there was an expectation of grace. He understood that with regard to his apostleship. God had made him an apostle. God had expectations. He had even let those expectations be known to the man who went to baptize Paul. And he told him and he told Paul, he will find out what it's like to serve me. And he will come to learn and discover how many things he has to suffer. Because he's serving me. And Paul will write later on, I don't know what's waiting for me in the towns that I go to, but I know that God has told me that wherever I go, suffering is waiting. But I don't care. Because in my body, Paul would say, I am honoring Christ. And I will be whatever he would have me to be, and I'll suffer whatever he wants me to suffer. Because of what he suffered for me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach and so you believed. Paul's message was identical to the other apostles. It was the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. There was no difference between his message
and the message of the other apostles. But going back up to verse 10 for just a second, with this idea of the grace that God gave to me was not in vain. Look at what this means. This apostleship that Paul had is not something that he worked to get. This apostleship that Paul had is not something that he earned. He was not doing all of these things so he could earn this apostleship or so he could work to receive it. It was already given. So he did all of this work because he was already made an apostle. It was a debt. And this salvation that he had in Christ, he viewed as a debt to all humanity. To teach them and show them the grace that God extends to us through Jesus Christ. So it's no wonder in Romans and in these other places, Paul will describe his apostleship as God's grace. Because it exactly parallels ours. There's nothing you can do to earn this salvation. There's nothing you can do to deserve it. It's given to us by God through Jesus Christ. Now we have a debt, an expectation to live for Him and to be devoted to Him and to be His and to serve Him. Not so that we can show ourselves to be good people, not so we can show ourselves to be holy people, but the debt of this expectation that we have in this grace, because He's already made us all those things. In Christ, He's made us His child. In Christ, He's made us free from all of our sins. And when we come to understand it, we reach up and we grab hold of that grace by thanking Him and honoring Him, and we have an expectation to now live like what He has made us to be. And that's this faith that we have. So that God's grace will not be given to us in vain, for nothing. And it would be given to us in vain and for nothing if we care nothing about Jesus, if we did not honor Him, if we turned our back on Him, on His will, and did the things that we want to do, and simply ignored Jesus, then it would be in vain. It would be for nothing. Because we would not be becoming the child that Jesus made us and following after Him. Another example of our grace, illustrated for us by the Apostle Paul, in the apostleship that God gave to him, that he didn't deserve, he didn't earn, and he should never have had, but he had it because God gave it to him. Keep the words on your lips. You're right, devil. But by God's grace, I am what I am. And by God's grace, I have what I have. And let the reality and the truth of that change your life and move you in the direction that God would have you to go.